Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. Jason Jacobs, thanks for chatting with me tonight. Oh, well, shake of the hand.
Yeah.
I gesture wildly, so you just be prepared. But, you know, you caught me there. No, you're fine. They you know, gave me a sedative before they turned on the cameras. But you are joining us here in Pittsburgh from New York City. Welcome.
That's right.
Thank you. It's great to have you visiting. You are a playwright, a director, and a teaching artist.
That's right.
And currently are working on Uncle Tom's Cabin. At the Pittsburgh Playhouse with the Conservatory Company. You and Tomei Cousin, who is a name that's become familiar here in Pittsburgh, have adapted this for the stage. So how did that come about? I mean, it's a pretty heavy topic. I mean, of course, the Harriet Beecher Stowe novel to a play by George Aiken, and now being presented by the two of you.
Yeah, well, it came about, it goes back with me to sort of a weird obsession with 19th century theater. Which I grew up with. I sort of was reading these dusty old plays when I was 7 or 8 years old. And so I knew about Uncle Tom's Cabin. And a lot of times I go back to like look at these older plays and say, like, is there something relevant? Is there something there? And a couple of years ago, with all the stuff with Trayvon Martin and when the police things were happening and race relations in America were just getting, you know, escalating, I thought, you know, this is a good time to look at the play. And that's right about when I had the serendipity to meet Tomei. We met at Lincoln Center at the director's lab, and we were given a chance to workshop and explore challenging plays. And so Tomei and I...
There you go.
Yeah, so Lincoln Center sort of said, this is... we proposed it. They said, yeah, come in and work on this. So Tomei and I... with four other directors, got a short period to explore the play together. And we saw what worked in the original play, and we also saw, well, if we were going to do this, what would we want to change? What would we want to look at? So Tomei proposed that we continue working together, and he said, how about bringing it to Pittsburgh, to Pittsburgh Playhouse, and we could work with the students at Point Park University? And I said, great. I'm here.
Now, as I'm sure you know, Tomei, I believe, is a graduate of the conservatory at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, Point Park University, as was I.
I was not.
Well, that's all right. Well, let me tell you, it was great. And I'm sure Tomei will tell you the same thing. He was before me because I remember being a student there, and up on the sixth floor, they have all the headshots of, you know, those who have gone off and done well. And I remember always seeing his there. So I've known the name for that long. They have not put my photo up there, by the way, yet. So
I'll see what I can do.
When you go back to the roost, let them know no more interviews until my headshots... hanging up there. Or they could just have a TV and run Berg Vivant. I'm flexible. It's okay. But I wish you both the best. So for this adaptation, what do you feel that was unique in what you brought to it and what Tomei brought to it?
Oh, that's great. We definitely come from really different backgrounds, theatrically backgrounds. And mine is more classics and straight plays. And of course, Tomei comes through the dance world and the Broadway dance world and musical theater and then dance theater. So
I think you just directed Ragtime up at CMU.
Yeah, like a sold out
yeah.
you know, run. Like you couldn't get a seat for that.
It was beautiful. He knows what he's
beautiful.
Doing, right?
He also did Wig Out
early
in the season, which, you know, they're talking about potentially taking him to New York with that. So he's, you know, people know Tomei here but we come from these different theatrical perspectives. We come from different training. So I come from the directing playwriting hyphenate.
Yep.
So I felt very comfortable knowing that we could take this play, which is in public domain, so we can do whatever we want with it. And I felt very comfortable sort of saying, we can adapt this. I know how to do this. We worked on it together. But and then Tomei with the movement. And of course, our backgrounds are different. You know, our cultural backgrounds are different.
So, well, right. I mean, yeah. There's some perspective there, right? Totally. I mean, because no matter how many plays you see or, you know, how many books you read, it doesn't put you in the shoes of somebody who is black.
Not at all.
You know, so yeah, that's, I think, a really important thing, you know, that sharing of perspectives there, too. And it's a tough piece, you know, and certainly relevant, you know, still, but in dealing with a heavy piece like that, you know, how has that been with, you know, the students at Point Park and in the, you know, Point Park University atmosphere?
So the students have been so, came in so open and so generous and so brave. And I think they trust us and we trust them. I'm all about working, whether with student actors or professional actors, I'm always about, like, the more authority and authorship you give to the actor to create, so that they're a collaborator, and you're not ever saying, you go there, you do that. You're sort of saying, how do you see this moment? How do I see this moment? Show me what that would look like. Mm-hmm. So part of that is, I think, part of that. We give them a lot of trust and respect. They're so well trained. They're so talented. They came in so open. And part of what we really, when we were both talking about what is the most important thing to tell the story today, it was a diverse ensemble of actors that are up there on stage telling the play, telling the story together. And it was important to us that you see that. So in our show, you always see the actors on stage when they're not in character. Hmm. And you see that moment, or I think you see that moment where they go from, the actor playing Uncle Tom maybe sitting right next to the actor playing Simon Legree. And you see them as people, and then you see them step onto the stage to enact the roles. So I think that we're building that sense of who we are as people together, and we're all Americans, and we're all in this ship together.
Yeah.
And then we...
You just say ship with a P, right?
P, so, ship
okay,
with
just
a
wanted
P,
to
yes.
clarify
yeah,
that, and if, ship, you know, if the mic didn't together. Pick up clear. Now, either way, I think it works.
Or,
I
just, you yes, know,
but,
yeah.
Just wanted to make sure your intentions were clear. Yeah. There. Yeah, okay.
So yeah, so they've been great. They've been great.
So for those of us who, you know, may have read the novel, be familiar with, or may have even seen a previous adaptation of it on stage, what can we expect from this one in particular that may be a little different or add a little something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to know how many people have seen it on stage, because after the 1920s, it had been so popular through the 19th century and 1920s. And then I grew up and I was like, nobody does this play.
I had always been very aware of it.
Yeah.
Well, the novel.
Yeah.
But never knew of the play being done.
The play isn't done very much.
Well, because it's touchy, you know? It takes great courage to, I think, produce this, direct it, to say, I want to adapt this.
And I think where most people know it mostly through The King and I. There's that moment in The King and I, and where they do their version of it. You know, the Siamese princesses do their version of it.
Yeah, that's right, I forgot about that.
So you can expect it will be nothing like that.
Okay, no King and I dancing.
Nothing like King
musicals.
And I. And if you really want to check out something really kind of horribly but fascinating, you can Google.
I love horrible and fascinating.
It's horribly
so you've
fascinating.
Got me sold here.
So it's called Mickey's Melodrama. It's an early Disney film. Disney cartoon, and like before, it's probably from the 30s, where Mickey and Minnie and Goofy are putting on a production of Uncle Tom's Cabin. And Mickey is in blackface.
Yeah, they did some crazy things in the early days of cartoons before, laws came into effect.
And just, like, you know, our codes. Sense of what's right. Yeah,
yeah.
Codes and what's right. And
so the lost episodes of Mickey Mouse.
So I promise you will not see the Jerome Robbins King and I choreography, and you will not
I'm sold already then.
You will not see any blackface, and you won't see, but what we're going for is a contemporary feeling of a historical play. And again, the sense of we're not trying to just do the play as we're in this illusion of being in the 19th century. We're a modern day contemporary ensemble doing the play. And I think that by the beginning and the end, you see it through a frame of our contemporary perspective.
No, it sounds compelling.
I hope so.
I wish you all the best with that. It runs April 7th. Through the 16th, again at the Pittsburgh Playhouse with the Conservatory Company. Tickets and more information at pittsburghplayhouse.com. Break legs
to you and Mr. Cousin, and
to the cast.
To the cast.
Indeed. All the best.
Thanks, Brian.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show.